you.
If you would, this morning, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. This is the final message on the on marriage. Not the final message, but in this particular month, it's the last message on marriage in the home. Ezekiel chapter 13. First message was about a month ago. We looked at words in the home. The different words that we use with each other, with our spouse. The words of negativity, words of hostility, words of anger. Different words. Well, not just because of the words. And the reason that we use those words is not because of the other person. The reason we use words is like Jesus Christ said, out of the heart proceedeth these things. And the reason we do use bad words is because our hearts are not right. And whether we use bad words at work, whether we use uncomely words at the store or out and about or amongst our family, it's because our hearts are not right. And when we use words of poor choice and condescending words and antagonistic words toward our spouse, no matter what the circumstance is, it's because our hearts are not right. We saw how that if we allow. Now, God wants us to have our hearts right. God wants us to have hearts that are malleable toward His Word, malleable toward His purpose. He wants that. He desperately wants that, but we have our free will. He's made us free will agents. So we must allow Him to change our hearts. If we allow Him to change our hearts, then we'll use the right words, the godly words to our spouse. Yield unto the Holy Spirit of God. The next sermon was on roles in the home. Made the distinction, these are not cinnamon rolls or croissant rolls. These are roles in the home. What our jobs are, what our roles are as a husband and a wife. Husbands, we are to love our wife as Christ loved the church in a selfless, sacrificial manner. Our wives desire to be loved and not taken for granted. The wife is to give reverence to her husband. Reverence is to revere, to be in awe of. Wives, I want you to look at yourselves right now and ask yourselves, are you in awe of your husband? Or do you think he's sort of a joke like the radio ads on TV, or radio ads that you hear on the radio? I mean, you hear the radio ads and the poor guy, he can't get his tires right, he can't hunt, he can't bring anything home, he's a waste. And men are made butts of jokes on the radio and the TV over and over again. Wives, do you revere your husband? Are you in awe of him? Your husband wants to be your hero. He really does. The way a wife responds to her husband is a good measurement of her reverence. Submission is the response. And husbands, we like that. We think our wives should submit to us. But it's actually a response. Do they have a reason to respond in a submissive manner? Are we the godly husband we need to be? Are we the godly husband we're asked to be? Are we the godly husband we're instructed to be? Do we love our wives as we love our own bodies? We buy ourselves toys and this and that and everything. And I even mentioned that I hear people say, if the wife doesn't like, she'll get over it. But yet, we want to satisfy our needs and not the wives. And then we wonder why our wives may not submit and respond to us in the godly way. Maybe it's because we're selfish and we don't love our wives as Christ loved the church. We don't love our wives as we love our own bodies. We looked last time at problems in the home. We saw that situations aren't the problem. Circumstances are not the problem. Finances are not the problem. When it boils, they're part of the problem, but when it boils down to it, people are the problem. Because these different things in a marriage, these different things in a home, these different things in a family, it's how we respond, how we react to these things as a couple. And there are problems in the home. But rather than respond in a godly manner, we lash out at one another. Pass the blame, or I told you so, or if only if. Problems in the home. There's only two problems in the home. And that's the man and the wife. Because we're human beings. And we have our own passions. We have our own wants, needs, and desires. We should be working together as a man and a wife, glorifying God. We should be grateful to God for each other and with each other. Grateful to God. We saw that problems in the home, there are different ways to get rid of problems, but the primary one, what we looked at, was jettisoning. Jettisoning problems. Jettisoning things that could cause problems. Jettisoning is to throw off something that is now unnecessary, such as an aircraft jettisoning fuel tanks that was once necessary, looked at as necessary, but on the way back home, they're not necessary anymore. And jettisoning creates throwing off things that might create a ship or an aircraft to be unstable in time of emergency or under attack. Our marriages and our homes are under attack on a daily basis. We're fighting a spiritual warfare, and we're under attack, and we refuse to jettison some things. We might have to look at ourselves and look at our hobbies or goals or personal aspirations. Or things that take us away from the family. Things that take us away from our wives. Or things that take us away from our husbands. Things that are unnecessary. And throw them off and jettison some things. Rather than endangering the whole ship. Words in the home. Roles in the home. Problems in the home. This morning, we're going to look at God in the home. If you would, please, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10. Well, verse 1, give us a flavor of the chapter here. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Verse 10, Because they have seduced my people. Who's they? The prophets, the false prophets, have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye,
O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. There shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall that you've daubed with untempered mortar and bring it to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. Ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus I will accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither shall they that daubed it. To wit, or in other words, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, there shall be no peace, saith the Lord God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and I pray this message be a blessing. Let us learn. Learn from this wall built with untempered mortar. Lord, help us apply it to our marriages. Help us to apply it to our home. Help us to apply it to our Christian life, Lord. Dear God, thank you for saving our souls. I pray if there's someone here who does not know with certainty that heaven is their home, maybe today they would trust you as Savior, calling out upon you to forgive them of their sin. Dear God, we're so thankful. You bless us day after day. Your insurmountable love for us, your insurmountable mercy for us. Dear God, we want to thank you today. We ask these things and we praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does this have to do with marriage? False messengers, verse 10, they have seduced my people. This is an analogy that the prophet's using, that these false messengers came and they said, peace, peace, don't worry about a thing, Israel. Don't worry about your sin. Don't worry. It's okay. You're just right where you are. And they said, peace. But there was no peace. It was a false peace. This is an analogy that they led their people astray by these false prophecies, these false truths. Talk about an irony. False truths. And it's like a person who built a wall with untempered mortar. In that when the hail come, the storms come, the wall toppled over. What's untempered mortar? Well, first of all, when you're using brick or rock, there's a recipe for mortar. Bucket of cement, one bucket of lime, and three buckets of sand, and then water. That's a basic recipe to get it to the right consistency. I used to run around a little bit with an old mason, and he said the more lime you add to it, it's the butter. It makes it flow a little easier. Plaster. If anyone's ever worked on a home in the south central part of Helena, how many have worked with lath and plaster? Lath and plaster. You smack that wall or something, and it comes to pieces. Because that plaster is smeared upon the lath, and there's gaps in that lath. The plaster doesn't stick to the lath. The plaster is smooshed, and it's smooshed out the other side of the lath, and that's what holds the plaster onto the lath. And so you cannot just knock a hole in the whole thing comes apart from the lath, because once it breaks apart from that stuff that's smooshed around, the whole thing falls off. There's no structural integrity to plaster. Now one might ask, what is plaster made of? It's simply lime. That's why the lime kilns up at Grizzly Gulch and Orofino Gulch, how many seen the lime kilns up there? They take the limestone, they put the lime in there and they bake it. I don't know how many degrees, 1800 degrees, I'm not sure how many degrees. But they take the lime and they bake it. And then it's called quicklime once they bake it and it's powdered. and you can use that for plaster, but then you can hydrate it, that's a fancy word for adding water to it, and then dry it out again. It changes the chemical composition, and then you've got a slack lime, and that slack lime is plaster. I said all that explained mortar, which adheres to rock or brick and it is structural, compared to plaster, which has no structural characteristic whatsoever. Let's look at our verse again. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, there was no peace, and one built up a wall. Lo, they daubed it, or smeared it, with untempered mortar. Untempered mortar. What's the definition of untempered mortar? Lime. Yep. Lime. Or plaster. Plaster, lime. What the writer of Ezekiel is telling them, you've listened to these falsehoods. And it's like you're building a wall using plaster and not mortar. It might be more accessible. It might be easier. But for some reason, you're listening to these false prophets, these people who have no idea. They're following their own spirit. They're following their own heart. And what they're telling you will not work. And you've built this wall with this plaster, and it was going to crumble. If any storm, any wind come, it's going to crumble. You've daubed it with untempered mortar. It will not adhere to the stone or the brick. Verse 11, saying to them which daub of it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. It shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Tear that wall apart. And when the wall is fallen, verse 12, shall it not be said unto you, where's the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? In other words, hindsight's 20/20. You should have daubed it with mortar, not untempered mortar, which is plaster. You knew better, but you decided not to because you listened to these falsehoods. You listened to these false prophets. You listened to these all these things, all these answers by people who follow their own hearts, their own imaginations, their own spirits. It didn't work. It shall fall. What can we learn about the daubing of untempered mortar when it comes to God in the home? Don't listen to the world. Do not listen to the world. You look at home, what is it? Home finders, home sneakers on TV. What is it called? Home finders? House hunters. House hunters. A man, according to the Bible, is supposed to love his wife as himself with an unconditional, sacrificial love. And they look at the program on TV and they can't wait to find a man cave to get away from the wife. Do not listen to the world. If a husband wants to spend that much time away from his wife, there's something wrong. And the way to deal with it is not by hiding in a man cave. That should be a family cave. My dad took us everywhere. He didn't want to get it. I'm sure there were many times he wanted to get away from us kids. He took us everywhere he went. We learned the very basics of being polite and courteous at Capital Parts Supply, where the Golden Girls is now. Used to be an old bank there, and then Golden Girls, they used to be Capital Auto Supply. We learned when we were 3 years old how to be courteous from my dad because he took us there. And that was when people are there, you stand back. You let other people that were there, you take note. You are aware of what's going on. You mark the people that were there before you. You cross your arms and you wait until it's your turn. And if someone says, can I help you? You say, no, that guy was here first. And we were not allowed to sit on the stools. You used to sit on the stool, the plastic stool, had a wrench on it or something. You sit on there, but you thought you're big stuff. We were torn off the stool. Dad says those stools are for people who can't stand. My dad took us everywhere. He never had a man cave. He was not even saved. But his family came first. You look at the TV with us buying of the homes once again, and the woman's got to have a spa. And how many times you hear the woman say, so I can get away from the kids. Have me time. We're listening to the world because I deserve it. I deserve my time. I need to do this. It's for me, me, I. And we listen to the world over and over and over again. Hello, I submit to you that we're building our families, we're building our walls with untempered mortar because we're listening to the world and not to God. Amen. We need to listen to God. Built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and build a wall, build a home, build a house, build a structure, build a marriage that will stand the test of time, that will stand the test of storms, that will stand the wind and things that will render any other wall apart that's built with untempered mortar. But we need a wall that will stand, and it's only going to stand by listening and heeding the Word of God and building with mortar. The right stuff that will adhere the wall together. And not just lackadaisically smear something over and say, oh, it's good for now. A superficial wall. There are many superficial marriages in America today. There are many superficial marriages in the church today. Because we've daubed our marriage with untempered mortar, because we've listened to other people and not to God. How many times you at work or you hear some conversation? Oh yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go hunting. If she doesn't like it, tough. Oh boy, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. It sounds like untempered mortar. Sounds like we just want to smear something over it, and that wall is not going to stand the test of time. Oh, you're whipped. Yeah, you better be whipped. When we got this ring on our finger, that gave our spouse the right to tell us what to do. Oftentimes, I've taken my ring off and yelled, freedom! But my ring's still on my finger. And I got married for a reason. Yesterday I spent 3 or 4 hours plumbing in a 1-inch half iron pipe for a gas line, for a gas stove. I didn't do it for me. If I did it for me, it would have probably taken 6 or 7 hours. But I love my wife. She wants a gas range. I want a gas range. We want a gas range. So we do things for each other. Brother McCurdy, you're whipped. You bet I am. I'd much rather have this ring on my finger than not. That's the wife God give me. I'm not the perfect husband. But I'm striving to build the wall with God, with someone who will adhere us together instead of using untempered mortar. They will stand the test of time. Don't listen to the world, false prophets, and don't listen to the false messages of peace. You see, what the world promises with all these selfish, self-serving, self-centered things does not bring peace in the home. All these people that promise these things, when someone dies in the family, when someone gets sick, when there's calamities in the family, you won't be able to go to the self-help author. You won't be able to go to the people on TV. Your bar buddies won't be there. Hello, your bar buddies won't be there. I use that very loosely because there are a lot of, quote, bar buddies. You may not be drinking with them, but they got all kinds of advice. And isn't it funny, their advice that they have for you hasn't gotten them anywhere. They won't be there when calamity strikes. When your dad's got Alzheimer's, they got nowhere else to go, your mom and dad, your wife's going to be there to take your folks in. Don't listen to the false messengers, and we shouldn't listen to the false messages of peace. But respond as a godly couple, as one flesh, on the same team. We're on the same team. Hello, we might not like each other sometimes, but we're on the same team. And we're on the same team to glorify God, the one that bought us, the one that redeemed our souls forever. And we're on this earth to glorify Him, and that's why He gave man, woman, and woman, man, so that we can glorify Him together. And when things happen, we're responding as a godly couple, a godly way, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When calamity comes in a family, in a home, that's when push comes to shove. That's when we fish or cut bait. Not only don't listen to the false messages, don't listen to the false message of peace, but build the marriage on the foundation of Jesus Christ with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 reads, "A threefold cord is not quickly broken." A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And we know the analogy of a stool. In order to have a plane, 2 points make a line, 3 points make a plane. And a stool will only stand if it has 3 legs. But unlike untempered mortar, unlike slime, unlike plaster, unlike lime, Jesus Christ can adhere us as a couple. Joshua chapter 24, 15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if we're going to build our homes with the right stuff, with something, someone that will adhere us, we're going to choose God and we're going to serve Him and not listen to the world. And without hands raised, how many of us, no hands raised, how many of us can sit here this morning and say, "Hey, I want my family, I want my marriage to survive, to succeed." I think every one of us would have a hand raised. Then we should forget the false messages of the world and build our walls with Jesus Christ. When tough times come, he's the only one that's going to keep that wall upright. If we're looking at ourselves to keep our walls upright, we got problems. If we're looking for worldly answers to keep that wall upright, we got problems. If the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins, I think he has our better interest at heart. And so he writes us a book that tells us how to have a marriage, a right marriage, a godly marriage, because he has our better interest at heart. He loves us. He doesn't want to see us fail. He doesn't want to see us miserable. He doesn't want to see us with a superficial marriage. But we had better start listening to God, listening to his words. And part of that is to give him preeminence. What is preeminence? Preeminence is making God number one. If we're going to build our homes, our walls the right way, we need to give the Lord Jesus Christ preeminence in our lives. We need to make Jesus Christ number one in our homes. We need not give him, he does not want priority in our lives. He wants preeminence. And when we give him priority, or maybe just a position, because I'm a Christian, oh, and I go to a Baptist church, oh, and I read a King James Bible, but I'll keep God in our home. We'll put him right here. He has a position in our home. Oh, now when times get tough, we'll give him a prominent position. We'll put him over here. When things get really tough, then we'll give him priority. God doesn't want position or priority. Nor does he deserve position or priority. God wants and deserves preeminence. Number one in our lives, and that's he's the only one, the only thing that is going to keep our walls upright is by giving him preeminence, because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Do we give Christ preeminence in our homes today? Husband, wife, are you reading your Bible together? Are you reading your Bible at all? Does your family see how important the Lord is in your life? Or does he merely have a position or somewhat of a priority? Is he preeminent in your life, husbands? As the leader of the home? How much time does your family see you reading or praying or serving the Lord compared to the time spent on hobbies or extracurriculars? Does the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence in our homes this morning? Does the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence in our lives this morning? Or have we been building our walls with untempered mortar, listening to the world and the false messages of peace? Husbands, wives, are you praying with each other? Husbands, wives, are you praying for each other? If we love our wives like the Bible says, as Christ loved the church, love our wives as our own bodies, then wives would submit in a godly way, respond in a godly way, and our roles would be right. We wouldn't have any problems there. And when we got our roles right, we'll respond to problems in a godly way. We need to start today. We're going to have an invitation. And I want to implore us this morning, do not listen to conventional wisdom. Listen to heavenly wisdom. Heed the Son of God who gave His life for us. Because even they, because they have seduced my people saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, it shall fall. We need God in our homes. We need God in our marriage, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Built with the right mortar. If we build it with the right mortar, build it with Jesus Christ, giving Him the preeminence, our wall, they will adhere our walls, and they'll not fall in times of trouble. They'll not fall in times of little faith. They'll not fall in those times of affliction. Don't listen to the failed message of the world, but heed the Creator of heaven and earth. A marriage built on the foundation of Christ with biblical principles, instead of the false peace, that marriage will be built upon the Prince of Peace. Every one of us wants peace in our homes. Sick and tired of being miserable. Sick and tired of living the superficial Christian marriage. Sick and tired of being away from the Lord. He seems so far away. We need to get it right. We need to get it right today. Wives, submit unto yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So ought men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let's build our walls the right way, giving Jesus Christ the preeminence in our lives, in our homes, and in our marriage. Let's stand.
$377
this morning.
Hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
This morning, you can pray where you are, but sometimes it makes it just that much more serious when we come forward and do business with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our marriage is hanging in the balance of what we do and how we treat our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, if there's any inkling, come forward this morning. Those of you who may not know Christ as Savior, don't hesitate. Jesus wants to save you. The Bible says now is the day, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Trust Christ as Savior. Call out upon Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. We'll sing another stanza here. So much. It's a great day. We got a great God and He gives us a great word. We get so far to go. We fall so short. I'm so glad God's patient with us. He loves us. He's all merciful. I can't wait to see the day we see Him face to face. What are we going to say? I guess thank you. Thank you. We're going to have a good service tonight. Service in the Brook of Kishon, where Elijah prayed and their little cloud come over and they got rain. So that's the sermon tonight. I invite everybody back tonight if you can make it. Brother Bill Nelson, would you close us in prayer, please?